Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Recorded live from Orlando, Florida and Nashville, Tennessee, you're listening to The Dapper Danielle Show, starring Ian Wilson, Clarence Kelly, and now, here's your host, the one and only, The Dapper Danielle.
Three, two, I know, you see, somehow the world will change for me and be so wonderful.
Sorry, I just, the countdown for the
Why
show.
Did that come into your head of all things? I was like, wait, what?
I was counting down the, because when I start the recording, it does the 5, 4, 3, 2, and then in my brain, I was like Freddie from iCarly.
Oh, that's hilarious. Wow.
Thanks. So, and I was so like, that's what came to mind.
I was even blanking for a second. I was like, was that in Hannah Montana? I completely forgot it was iCarly.
iCarly doing their web show. What a classic show. Goodness.
Yeah, so that's the show, everybody. Yeah, let's just go ahead and, is this a wrap?
That's it. Okay, good job. Yep. That's a wrap. See y'all next episode. Yeah,
no, but if you guys really think about it, are the younger millennial generation and the elder Gen Zs, we're heavily impacted by iCarly and really the idea of doing like a vlog show and just a variety show, but online. And I feel that's kind of like what we're doing and what most podcasts are nowadays is really that.
Essentially, just less like physical gags.
Right.
You know,
I mean, that maybe that'll be for the next episode. We'll have each of you get up in your own respective locations and do a gag bit. And I don't know what it's going to be, but maybe one of you throws a pie.
I'll do the butter sock.
No.
The butter sock from iCarly. I'll fill a sock with butter and like swing it and smash stuff with it.
Actually, that'd be really funny and I would pay to see that.
It probably would do a lot of damage if I had to guess.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I just want the studio laughter. If we have that, I feel like that'd be very encouraging.
Oh yeah, the canned laughter.
You have some.
Clarence, you can get that for the show.
I should put canned laughter into the show. It'll make it like 10 times funnier because everyone just be like, oh, this is when I laugh. Okay, cool. Yeah. That's why people think Friends is funny, because they put the canned laughter when it's really not that funny.
Wow. You can't be saying that. Guys, if you did not know that, I am so sorry, because I know a lot of you are big fans of the series Friends, and I already go ahead and apologize for my brother. But yes, Clarence is a Friends hater, so I'm sorry.
I am a Friends hater. Anyway, Danielle, why don't you introduce us to the show?
Yes. Well, welcome everybody again to another episode of The Dapper Danielle Show. I am your host, The Dapper Danielle, and I am joined by Clarence Kelly and Ian Wilson, my brother and brother-in-law from Tennessee, and we're here to talk about a little bit of like our intro into the official Halloween spooky season. We're going to talk a little bit about some villains, a little bit about how we kind of get ready mentally into the spooky vibes. But we also have our first cast member note to be able to share with you. So we're going to share some of that and some other hot topics. We have some fun things that we're going to be jumping into, and we want to also hear from you. But before we get into all that, make sure you're following along over on the socials, on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube. On YouTube, it's just going to be The Dapper Danielle, and all of these videos are going to be where the rest of my videos are over there. And then wherever you're listening to this podcast or on the TikTok and Instagram, it's going to be The Dapper Danielle Show. If worst comes to worst and you can't find it, links are in my personal link tree. You'll be able to find us somewhere. It's all connected. But we're so happy to have you guys. And there's a lot of new listeners that are here hanging out with us today. So thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you. And I do want to actually go ahead and shout out our brand new Patreon members. So there's actually three tiers. in Patreon, and the top tier is going to be the refresher tier, and we actually have three new members of that, and they get a special shout out over here on the podcast. And our newest members are going to be Connie, Megan, and Samantha. Thank y'all so much, and I really, really appreciate it. We just posted, and I will actually be reaching out to the winners of the September giveaway for a special little blind box. I actually have it right here with me. It's going to be this Winnie the Pooh little Miniso keychain blind box. It's basically a Pooh Bear La Boo Boo.
A La Poo Poo.
Basically, yes. So yeah, this is what we're going to be giving away for the month of September, just to kind of start us off. And this is just going to be for the premium bar tier and refresher tier. If you are part of the churros tier, which is the $5 tier, I will be getting into some small little giveaways for you guys too, just because I'm like, I have some cool stuff, you know, we'll get into that, but we're just now getting us going and we'll be starting off with this. So thank you guys again so much for participating. We really appreciate it.
So diving into our hot topics, something that came up recently is the Fairy Godmother Returns. Now, here's the thing.
It's not a new movie.
Right. It's not a movie. It's at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique in Disney Springs and the Magic Kingdom. Now, Danielle, you were a fairy godmother at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique for quite a few years. And I was under the impression the fairy godmother was already integrated into the boutique.
No.
No, I'm very surprised to hear that. Okay, so
really?
I'm going to pass this off to you and let you kind of talk about this, because I'm really surprised to hear coming back. I didn't think she ever left.
Okay, so yes. And actually, this is kind of like an overall arching statement that people are like, wait, what? She hasn't been back? Yeah, so during my time at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and even predating my time there. So Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique in Disney Springs opened up in 2006. And then the 2007 version opened up in Magic Kingdom here at Walt Disney World. And then Disneyland got theirs and eventually was on every single cruise ship and so on and so forth. And now there's multiple boutiques that are even all the way around the world. The Fairy Godmother has always been the like teacher, the like overseer of the boutique, but was never really involved in the storyline actively on a daily basis. So like the fairies would talk about Fairy Godmother all the time, and they would say, oh, you know what, we were doing these classes and we were learning all these things and we got all these items from the princesses, but you would never actually see these princesses. And now the only time that you would see a princess and or you would see Fairy Godmother is if it was a magical moment and it was totally up to these characters roaming around into the boutique just by happenstance. When I was there, Fairy Godmother only came by once when I picked up a shift in Magic Kingdom, and then maybe Cinderella once, and that was it. On a daily basis, not on anything else.
Gotcha.
Now, something about this boutique thing that's happening is that they are realizing, oh, the other boutiques are not reopening. So I can go ahead and confirm for y'all, and this has kind of been verified here recently since all this happened, that the location in Disney Springs and inside the Grand Floridian will not be reopening anytime soon.
I didn't know the Disney Springs one was closed.
It has been closed since 2020.
Really?
Yes, it never reopened. So my home, the one I helped open in, 2015, 2016, never reopened.
Because they integrated, from what I remember before you left, they integrated like video mirrors into that location, didn't they?
Yes.
That like would play, I thought it was the Fairy Godmother, like an animated Fairy Godmother talking to the princess. Is that right?
And that was which is interesting. Put a pin in that because we're coming back to that. Cool. So that creation of the magic mirror that went viral was created first for the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique in Disney Springs. Mm-hmm. And the reasoning for that is that this was the OG location. It was originally located inside World of Disney, and that boutique made, I'm going to get really close to the microphone, buku dollars. Okay. Like so much profit, and so much so that in 1 year span, it made a profit of over $1 million and covered its own cost to be able to make that recording and build a brand new location and basically didn't affect the next year's budget. It was completely out of the profit.
Okay.
Wow. So all these updates came about, and then Magic Kingdom's like, oh, they're turning more numbers than we are. I guess we need to upgrade our boutique too. So now the Magic Kingdom boutique has gone through major upgrades. They added more chairs. They have their own Magic Mirrors now to everything else. So because of the cosmetology laws in both California and in the state of Florida, well, mostly affects Florida because California doesn't have anything outside of Disneyland. But because the cosmetology laws changed in 2020 to prevent people from doing at-home salons, Disney is not willing to pay for the minimum Florida hair braiding licensing that it costs for every single employee of, like, apprentice or fairy godmother of the boutique. So Disney was already paying for that.
Why? And it was not, only are like, they not making any money off the
I know,
the
right?
Like, well, I mean, it sounds like it's not very profitable.
The difference was is that in the training for them to operate legally, at the time, well, at least this was during my time there, is that Disney, for every fairy godmother that went through training, they had to pay to the state $800 to register them with a hair braiding license in the state of Florida. So,
maybe,
but that's for instance,
like,
Disney,
like 20, 30 kids, and we cover that. No problem.
Well, no, there's like over 60 fairies in one location. So, I mean, it does kind of add up, and it's a yearly, and actually, it's a 6 month thing.
How many princesses come through each of those 60 people a day, though? You know what
I
mean?
I know.
Like, that's what I'm saying. I just, I feel like it's in the budget. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like it's in the budget.
We can move on. That's all. I want to point out.
I think what gets me more than it being in the budget is the ridiculousness of having to have a certificate or a license to braid hair.
Mm. Right.
That well, seems it was so stupid to me.
Libertarian of you. Very libertarian of you.
Exactly. Cosmo law is ridiculous. If y'all should look into it. It's very interesting. And it varies by state, too. So this is just because of the state of Florida. So all these things changed, basically. And Disney's like, we don't want to deal with it anymore. We'll just open up the one in Magic Kingdom. And because Magic Kingdom is behind a ticketing location, so you have to pay a ticket to get into Magic Kingdom, they don't have to have the same licensing.
Interesting.
So none of these fairies have the same licensing I had back in the day.
Wow.
Which is so interesting. I'm not saying that to throw them under the bus. They are still very well trained and they know what they're doing. Mm. But so basically, those locations are not being open in the foreseeable future. Just going to leave that out there. Just say, there you go. Now, back to Magic Kingdom, though. So, Fairy Godmother, from what we understand, and after talking with my fairy sisters that are still over there at the Magic Kingdom, they've actually given me a little bit of tea on what's happening. And by the time this episode releases, all this will have come to fruition. And then you will start seeing this on the socials. So, this is not hidden news or anything like that. The first thing is that the fairy godmothers or the apprentices, they're actually called the apprentices because we have female fairy godmothers and then we also have fairy godfathers. We have a little bit of everybody. Their costumes are getting updated and they are switching over from I call them the cute little cottage dresses and they're like interchangeable. They're switching over to the vest and pants that is over on the Disney Wish the Cruise Line boutique.
Okay.
It's cute. It actually matches very well with Fairy Godmother's colors. So Fairy Godmother coming in, it makes sense, right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
They look like apprentices. They're going to look very professional, but it does miss out on the cute little like princessy halo and the pockets. Oh, the pockets in those like skirts and little aprons were fantastic. I could hide snacks in those. I had full packets of M&Ms for in between princesses. It was great. So for that, I understand, fairies. I feel your pain if you're not excited for the pants that don't look great on everybody. I'm so sorry. So also, Fairy Godmother is going to be making, as of right now, this always could change, she will be making a rotation of visits inside the boutique. She might also be meeting in a meet and greet location in Sir Mickey's. It is currently under construction and permits have been filed. So they're currently building something out for that. And a cartoon version of her shows up in the magic mirror beforehand.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
So think about this for a second. Think about this. You see a cartoon version of what a character should like that talks to you. Uh-huh. Then you see a version walking around in the boutique, and there's no guarantee that that same friend of a fairy godmother will be at the end of your transformation in the photo studio. Okay. Do you see what the issue is?
It's a little bit. Yeah.
The issue I see is that this was my idea for what they should have done for the Walt attraction in Disneyland instead of doing a Walt animatronic. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm really hearing is I suggested we do the digital version. We transfer it to a real life character right there on stage. Wow. Amazing. Cool. They're doing it in Bippity Boppity Boutique right now. But I do see the concern there of like, yes, there, especially with, because as I understand, we're not getting the fairy godmother, whatever, whenever Disney decided to one-off do fairy godmother with a like set face kind of.
Oh, you're talking about scary godmother.
Yeah, scary godmother. Yeah, yeah. Now we're doing we're doing real fairy godmother, right? So that will be concerning, you know, because it's not like Mickey where you'll see the same Mickey regardless of, you know, where you're at.
For those fairy godmother will be a face
character, right?
Right. She is a face character here in the US. And then so this same concept will be coming over from Disney World and also Disneyland's Bippity Boppity Boutique. I don't believe they actually have the magic mirror yet, though. That is something exclusive to Disney World. I could be incorrect and they could have gotten an update, but from what I understand, yes. What I also find interesting is that, yes, okay, for a little bit of clarification, let me go back a little bit. Scary Godmother refers to the mask version of Fairy Godmother that exists only over in the Asian parks.
Truly terrifying, by the way, too. Truly, like Slenderman video game vibes of like passing by in the park.
Did you see the one that got updated though here in the past 5 years?
I just know what I've been haunted. I haven't sought out further encounters with.
You're like, I saw the one photo video. I don't want to see it again. Yeah, she's a little uncanny valley.
Yeah.
So that's basically all we have really for updates and information. They are clarifying some packages. Supposedly some new versions of some princess dresses are coming in. This usually happens every 5 to 6 years. The princess dresses get fade out, new manufacturer, new all this other jazz. So we'll see. I don't believe they actually have showed up to property just yet. And with how things usually get delivered to Disney property, they'll say, oh yeah, brand new dresses are on the way. They don't show up for another 8 to 9 months. So honestly, who knows? Was there anything else in addition to that? Well, basically, I also want to put a pin into what all this I just said is from what the fairy godmothers have been told, what the apprentices have been told, and that all of this is subject to change as they get into it and they're testing and adjusting. So even if you see an influencer or another one of the influencer mommies are going and testing out the new Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique packages. I brought my 3-year-old. She's actually 2.5, but I lied and said she was 3 to be able to bring her into the boutique.
To try Bibbidi Bobbidi Mommy Boutique in the Magic Kingdom. Literally, oh my gosh, you guys. I could not believe how amazing the fairy godmother was at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. It was so great.
That was such a really accurate impression, honestly.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Oh my gosh. You guys. You would not believe. I just spent $200 to put glitter in my daughter's hair. And we loved it. She scream the entire time? Days. Yes. But it's fine.
It's more, I mean, there. Oh, I just lost it. I had the prices pulled up. Okay. So yeah, $200 for the castle package.
The castle package has always been about $200, though, and that includes...
Carriage package is $100.
See, the carriage package used to be $75 back in the day, but now they include a t-shirt.
Inflation.
T-shirt. Yeah, all my favorite Disney princesses actually wear t-shirts. I don't know if you've noticed that.
These are like the cool princesses. Just saying.
Totally. I think it's like, no, like not a tiara or something. Like, we're going to do a t-shirt. I would be like, as the parent, I'd be like... Cool, but also just doesn't really feel thematic, you know? It feels like we're breaking, kind of.
The Dapper Danielle Show will be right back after these messages.
Anyways, well, we have talked about one hot topic of something coming to Disney. Recently, though, something left Disney as well, left Disney property, and in the hands of a mysterious, I believe described as a slippery villain, the paddlefish thief, of course, is the only one we can be referring to. And
my new favorite Disney villain.
Yes, so true. So true.
Actually, can we add him to the list of new Disney villains?
We definitely can.
Yes.
Yeah, if you haven't heard, recently here in September, there was a theft at the Paddlefish restaurant in Disney Springs where a alleged scuba diver slunked his way out of the water, schlopped his way up on deck, and kind of slipped out the cash. About $20,000, basically, he took from Paddlefish, disappeared. No one knows. Did he get back in the water? Was it a she? Was he wearing socks? Was he not wearing socks? We did an entire bonus episode on this to answer the questions. The experts got together, analyzed every angle using a flannel graph in front of us, live in front of a live studio audience. You can watch that bonus episode on YouTube to really understand exactly how this crime went down. I did not get a chance to say, but I would like to just put this out there to the airwaves. We didn't get a chance to really address the paddlefish thief. And I think that was maybe something that was missing from our episode. So I want to just take a minute and address the paddlefish thief. And
like
say,
a note from us to him?
Yeah, from us to him. Obviously, we're working with the authorities very closely. So, you know, when inevitably the paddlefish thief is brought to justice, I just want to put in a request, just a small request. I feel like he owes it to us. And that is, I feel like because of all the analysis, the help we've given aiding in his capture, I just really want him, as he's being handcuffed, taken to the cop car, to say, "And I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids." And then I'll say, "Thank you. Yes, of course, you know, and we'll all have a dog and have a sandwich or something. It'll be great, you know, amazing." So
Georgiana is our Scooby Doo. The baby.
True. The baby can be Scooby-Doo. So anyways, just my request to the paddlefish thief. Keep that in mind, you know, if you need to have kind of a final line. You know, it's a really classic good one that would make us, you know, as the Dapper Danielle Show hosts, feel really, you know, loved in our roles. So that's my request to the paddlefish.
Can you actually imagine that, right? So like the paddlefish guy gets arrested and then he breaks the fourth wall and he's like, "And I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids." As the three of us just standing randomly in our 70s, 60s garb. Look, Clarence is like slouched over like Shaggy is. You, Ian, you and are Daphne and Fred. And of course I'm Velma, but then Scooby-Doo is going to be the dapper niece who is Georgiana. And we love her so much. But y'all, Georgiana's in this phase right now of she is trying to communicate. So she's just learning that she has a voice box. And so she'll just go, just like scream. So she's happy
she
about it.
Sounds like Scooby-Doo. Yours is what
I'm saying.
Saying she sounds like
of,
a dog
or whatever. Yeah, right. Instead, it's just her going back at him, and then I think that would be so funny.
Kind of what Scooby does the whole time.
Just makes sound effects.
Something that did occur to me as we've been talking about this, I am curious to know if any law enforcement has watched our video as part of their investigation. Just I'm just curious. There's a possibility someone working on the case has watched our video. And if that's true, please send us a message at podcast@thedapperdanielle.com. I really want to know.
Yes. And if you can't talk about it, just say, "I went and got fish and chips at Cooks of Dublin and it was delicious." And the podcast hosts that were sitting in Cooks of Dublin were very correct in their cooking skills.
good.
That's the code. If you can't talk about it, just talk about Cooks of Dublin. Well, no. Okay, this person, they know something.
They know something. You know, I do have a lot of people in law enforcement, and actually quite a few people in the military all over the world that follow me just because they're like, "You know, Danielle, she's kind of ridiculous. She's amusing. Let's watch her for some lighthearted entertainment." Which to that I say thank you so much and thank you for your service. But yes, I mean, I'm going to get really close to the microphone again. Please slide into our DMs and confirm. Thank you very much. Okay.
Our DMs, emails, send us an email. Speaking of emails.
Yes.
Remember podcast at thedapperdanielle.com. We are taking your cast member stories and using them for our financial gain.
We haven't really monetized too much off of it yet. So really, it's not that much.
So what we're doing is we're highlighting cast member stories. And we want the good, the bad, the ugly. We want all of it. And so we did get some already. And we're going to read one of them now. Let's read this letter.
All right. So slowly, Danielle has sat down over here at the fireplace side and has opened up the large book. And it's really just the emails. And the emails have a lovely letter. And it says, paper noise. Hello, Dapper Delegation. My name is Michael, and
I think you should just jump to the second paragraph. Just skip this first one, because it's just him saying he loves the podcast and the channel. And so I feel like...
We wanted to share this plug!
When are we going to skip, self-gratification here?
You know, it's true.
Like, okay. Like that's fair. That's fair. We're going to read the praise, obviously.
So to tell everybody else that we're cool, you know? I mean, Michael thinks you're cool, so we're going to let everybody else know.
Everyone needs to know how much they love the show.
That's great. So thank you, Michael. We're going to have to be bleeping out this
please,
section.
Please,
this
please,
section is so bad anyways. We're just going to go hardcore.
Anyway, this is why we can't read these. This is the first one, guys. We're messing it up, and this is the first email that we've gotten.
Nobody's going to send us any more letters.
Nobody's going to send us their messages anymore. Pull it together, you two.
Okay.
Oh, all right. We got this. Yep. Okay. Anyway, pulling back out the book that's actually an email and paper noise. Hello, Dapper Delegation. My name is Michael, and I'm a former cast member of Disney's Hollywood Studios from 2010 to 2012. Love the podcast, your channel, and all the great content that I actually do want to know about, and love that you tell me anyway. Thank you so much. Okay, so I love how they explain this and open up this story. All right, you guys ready?
Yes.
Here's how I accidentally met Bob Iger and George Lucas at the same time and may have inadvertently been part of the Lucasfilm acquisition.
So insane.
So insane. And you're like, wait, what? Continue on, good sir. Okay.
It's a great hook.
It is a great hook. And I'm just like, bravo, bravo. Okay, so this one says, on the day that Star Tours, The Adventure Continues, had its opening ceremony, I was working at the former Magic of Disney Animation, now Star Wars Launch Bay. Now it's not that anymore. So actually, he says that. And soon to be Magic of Disney Animation. Again. In the early hours of that Florida morning, I was on crowd control duty, making sure that no one was going to rush past the areas and try to go into the areas of the park to try to get on the new Star Tours when they weren't supposed to. There was a huge opening ceremony on the stage up front of the Sorcerer's Hat icon, including a video that told the story of the stormtroopers occupying the Star Tours attraction. And then two Jedi saving the day, but you never saw their faces. Then they show themselves on stage, remove their cloaks, and it's Lucas and Iger. Which honestly...
George Lucas. I got beautiful hair.
He does. And probably
sorry, that's my George Lucas impression. I love doing it.
Oh my goodness, you're ridiculous. Anyway.
I love Jar Jar Binks.
Quiet. I'm trying to finish the note. People aren't going to send us their messages anymore. Anyway, it says, before that all happened, I was getting relieved from my first 2 hours on my shift to go take a 15-minute break. I went to the cast member cafeteria. The exit and entrance to that backstage area is also where VIPs come in and out of with guest relations tour guides. So it's also the most direct route when there's no one around for VIPs to head to other areas of the park when no guests are around. It's also directly connected to the backstage exit of the Brown Derby restaurant, which will be important later. Okay?
Hey.
So, and also
check
for
context. Brown Derby.
No. Anyway. And I also don't think this access is still there now with the construction going on. So, y'all, that's not accurate. Anyway.
How is it not? Chekhov's brown. Are y'all not familiar with Chekhov's gun?
No.
The literary tool?
No.
Where if Chekhov's gun is the idea that if there's a gun on the mantle in the first act of a show or a play or a book, by the second act, it needs to be fired.
Oh.
If it's pointed out. So that's why I said Chekhov's Brown Derby. Because it's referencing that it's going to be important later. Anyway,
I see continue. What you did there. Okay.
Over my head. It's actually, yeah. It's about 10,000 feet up, but it's pretty far above my head. Actually.
That was pretty good, though.
Sorry. Okay.
If you got that reference, please let us know. I'm intrigued to see if that was just like Clarence just knowing that. Up here and
I'm
off
sure
the top of his head.
I have some English teachers that are like, ha ha ha, that's hysterical.
And or they're like, Clarence got the reference. I taught that once in AP literature. Yes!
Yep. Anyway, sorry.
Okay. Continue. We're still not done with this yet. I haven't even gotten to the meat and potatoes of the story yet.
All right.
Anyway, as my groggy morning eyes are adjusting, I open the door to the cafeteria and out walk in front of me none other than Bob Iger and George Lucas, which might as well, for me at the time, might as well have been looking at the face of gods,
quiet,
honestly.
George. Lord George.
Quiet. I instantly stood up straight, holding the door like a Buckingham Palace guard, and with all the professional cadence I could muster, I said to them, Mr. Iger, Mr. Lucas, have a magical day. Bob Iger, with a slight chuckle, saw my name tag, said, good morning, Michael. Thank you. And it's okay. Call me Bob. To which I sheepishly replied with a nervous laugh of my own. Oh, I don't think I can, sir. They walked away and proceeded to the stage. Flash forward 1 year later to August of 2012, and I've moved back home to New Jersey just a few days later. I read about Disney buying Lucasfilm and read Iger's interview about how he and George had a conversation a year prior at a morning meeting at the Brown Derby, where they had a handshake agreement about handing over all the properties to Disney within the next year. So basically, I opened the door to the end of one of the most iconic entertainment acquisition agreements in history, which is hilarious. He literally did open the door at the end of the acquisition. So anyway, it wraps up to say, thanks for listening. Your work inspired me to do my own thing about all the live entertainment at theme parks. So thanks for being a continuing inspiration for starter creators like myself. And as always, have a magical day. I love that so much. Thank you so much, Michael, for sending that over. And I will go ahead and plug you also. Should I plug him? Because I know we're trying to be a little discreet.
Sure, plug him.
Okay. Yeah. His ad is going to be The Backstage Kingdom. And yeah, so I love that story. I think that's great. Thank you so much. I think that's a great one to start off of. I know we had a little bit of hiccups there in the middle of reading it, but we got through it eventually.
George walked away. I'm going to name a Gungan Michael.
Is there a Gungan named Michael? Because that would be even funnier.
I don't know. That'd be funny if there is. There's a Star Wars character just named Michael.
You know what? Just random one in the background. And this one has all these different names. That one's Michael, right?
That one's Michael. Yeah, that one's Michael. He's my favorite.
Oh, my goodness.
I love Can't take y'all anywhere. Voice. It's so funny. Wow.
I think it's time we move on.
Okay.
But cool. If you do have any more stories or cast member stories, whether they be good, the bad, the ugly, the in-between, if you want us to be more discreet, please put that into your email and you can send them over to podcast@thedapperdanielle.com. And we want to hear those stories. So we'll be on the lookout. We have a couple more and some more fun ones to come. But I thought that was a really fun one to kind of open us up.
The Dapper Danielle Show will be right back after these messages.
You're opening our segue into this?
Dang. Okay, sorry. I was just, your dad was blowing his nose in the background.
You got distracted. by my father blowing his nose in the background. Yes, to be fair, it sounds like an elephant.
Hurricane force in the living room there. So,
does anybody else's dad do that, by the way? Like, for when we lost Dapper Mom and Dapper Dad in the store, right?
So we lost Dapper Mom and Dapper Dad. Every time. It always is like this sad. I'm
Dapper
like,
Dad
oh my
passed.
Gosh, when?
His love of muffins. We lost.
No, when we lost the Dapper Mom and the Dapper Dad.
I think my timing and my context are a little bit out of the wick. Okay, hold on.
Danielle just loves doing like clickbait. Like that. She wants like a clickbait audio thing where it's like, oh no, the Dapper family has passed away. Oh no, they passed on their love of the Muppets.
No! It's just
we lost them in a store.
We lost our Dapper mother and Dapper father to the Publix accident of 2025. No, not really.
Phrase it like one time we were in a store. We couldn't.
No, I think it's because this would happen all the time. We would get separated from them. Either we would go down a different aisle to pick something up, or we would go and like, oh, hey, run down and get this thing. And then we would be like, oh my goodness, where are they at? We had to listen for two things. And he was either dad, his sneeze, and we could find him anywhere because it was so loud. Like you said, hurricane force winds, or Dapper Mom's cackle. Mm-hmm. And like, you know how like mom, we didn't have to do that. We just listened for their sound effects and we were able to find them.
Their sound effects.
That's really what it
is. Honestly, we should record them one day and just have them as like Foley.
Custom sounds.
It'll be a custom download sound that you too could actually bring to your device, whether it be Apple or whatever. It'll be available on the Patreon. Your ringtone could be Dapper Dad sneezing for your text notifications.
That's really funny.
People might want that. I don't know. They're big fans of Mom and Dad's.
Maybe.
Well,
let us know if you'd be interested, and we can make that work. And what would be funny?
Podcast at thedapperdanielle.com. Please let us know.
How much would you pay for that ringtone?
How much would you pay for this on Patreon?
Would you pay 99 cents to be able to download this off of Apple Store?
Oh, so amazing. Well, okay. As much as the Dapper Dad would love to be known as the main attraction for this episode of the podcast, mm-hmm. he is not the main attraction. We have a main attraction, and that mm-hmm. is sort of a conversation. We've been talking about how, obviously, we're in full spooky season swing. We have been at Disney for quite some time now with Mickey's Not So Scary and just the Halloween festivities. Even on my walks around the neighborhood, I'm seeing pumpkins now. So it's like, wow, okay, we're here. And it got us thinking about in Disney, obviously, right now, Halloween is all about villains, you know, and it's about kind of this I just feel like villains have just been on this upward trajectory in the Disney universe recently as mm-hmm. far as kind of the experiences you can have with them in the parks, the way you can start to interact with them is really cool. And I think kind of one of the capstones in recent memory here is the new show Villainess, where you kind of have this, you know, really interactive show where the crowd's participating with these villains, kind of you know, trying to sway the public's opinion. Great topic for a fall Dapper Danielle show podcast. Unfortunately, Danielle has neglected to take Clarence or myself to this show and has only seen it herself without taking us. So Clarence and I cannot.
You guys haven't been down here since it opened. I took you to Disneyland. It wasn't in Disneyland. It was here in the Hollywood Studios.
I would have come if I had known you were taking me to the show, but you didn't ever tell me. You've never once.
Hey, the open invitation is available. If you want to show up here in the middle of spooky season, I'll take y'all.
Okay, fine. We'll come. Okay. But I think what would be interesting is, since Danielle's kind of the only one that can speak to the show, I was thinking what would be interesting is to kind of talk about villains in general and kind of maybe pose a more open-ended question to all the hosts today of what makes a good Disney villain? What are just like when you think of Disney villains, what makes them so iconically bad, but not too bad, just Disney bad? And then maybe what are some of, you know, each of your own favorite Disney villains? Are there any Disney villains where you're like, if this villain was real, I would be most scared of this Disney villain as opposed to other Disney villains. So kind of interested to hear your thoughts. I feel like I will, I can just kind of kick off the conversation of, you know, what makes a good Disney villain.
Yes.
I feel like, I mean, obviously every Disney villain's different, but I think what kind of makes the good ones really compelling is how they are so, I don't want to say like good at the beginning, but I think as an audience member, you can see their side of things. You're kind of like on board with them. It's not this just open bad from the beginning. Oh my goodness, they're so awful. It's like there's kind of a little bit of a, okay, yeah, maybe I can see how they're participating in this movie's environment kind of in a neutral way, or maybe even a positive way that's helping some of the characters. And then later there's like that knife twist kind of at the end where it's like, wow, okay, this really is a bad Disney villain. So I don't know, I think that's kind of like an element to me that's always really interesting, is I don't always have to have the like total element of surprise of like, wow, I never expected this villain was gonna be the bad guy.
And there's not a lot of those either in Disney movies, and then when it does happen, you're just like, oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Exactly. But I do kind of like that. I think that little bit of like the bad person is not that bad and then gets like progressively worse kind of throughout the film until at the end you're like, whoa, okay, yeah, you are bad, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyways, what initially, just kind of off the cuff, what makes both of you think about what makes a good Disney villain? What makes them, you know, what makes the villain?
I almost feel like what you're describing is a little more common in recent Disney movies. Hmm. As opposed to like just pure classic villains, where I think of like the old school villains like Maleficent or Lady Tremaine, Captain Hook, that are just evil from the get go and just have, I think what any villain needs is some sort of clear selfish motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they're working for something. Like, is it power? Is it wealth? Is it status? Like, is it control? I guess that would be power. I think that's kind of a big part of it. And then I think and this is kind of a gripe about more recent Disney and Pixar movies that don't have a clear villain.
Or the villain ends up not being like a real villain, like Encanto. There's no real villain. It's everybody's like, oh, everybody doesn't like grandma. But then at the very end, you're just like, no, grandma's fine. She was just emotionally abusive to her grandkids. Like, it's fine. When really that's not great. So there's nobody to hate or direct your dislike towards.
I guess what I was trying to get to was a good villain needs a good opponent and a good like hero to be the opposite. And I think what with a lot of more recent movies is what makes the hero feel weaker in movies without a villain is that there is no clear villain. That's and true. It hurts, I think, the hero's story and the hero's journey in storytelling when there's not a clear opposite force that they're combating. You know, that's just kind of a thought about it. I think too, Disney villains always, like the really good ones, have something really memorable about their character.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's their vibe, it's their clothes, costume, and maybe it's how they talk. Like, immediately I think of Jafar and his fun hat and his the way he talks and the way he carries himself. It's very... I love Jafar. Or I think about...
Zurg, iconic. Zurg,
yes, iconic. I was thinking of Lady Tremaine, about how like she's a very regal, very like pomp and circumstance type of villain.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost like that like regal, uptight feeling, almost
narcissistic personality,
like even scarier.
Yeah,
because it's like in the like name of high society or something. I don't
totally
know.
Or like I see what you're getting at, like almost like Hades too. Like, you think about him, it's like super laughy, like jokey, kind of like loosey-goosey, but then once that towards the end when he starts getting bad, it's like, wait, the loosey-goosey is like I don't really have anything I will stop at. Like, I will just kind of keep going. Like, they're, you know what I mean? So you kind of have mm-hmm. that, like, that characteristic of the villain that, if you're, like, if I'm understanding you right, if it is the kind of iconic part, gets then, like, kind of deepened, and then you realize, like, wow, this is not just, like, the fun side of you, but also kind of, like, the crazy actual bad side of you that makes me, like, actually now, like, really worried about you as the villain, as opposed to just being like, oh, that's just a personality trait, like, you crack some jokes here and there or something, you know?
What so, I think is funny is that you both actually explained the villainous show, basically. Oh. And for, if I'm gonna go ahead and give some spoilers, if you haven't seen the show yet, I'll try to be pretty brief.
I haven't, Danielle. Yeah,
but I'm gonna spoil a little bit for you.
Clear, we've never,
I haven't been to the show yet.
Well, the whole concept is that the magic mirror it only answers to the queen. So the magic mirror is asking for the audience help to answer on behalf of him, because he's not allowed to. He's literally cursed not to be able to answer anybody else other than the evil queen. So the villains are getting through the glass to be able to ask these questions. And they're asking the question of who's the most misunderstood of all. And the care, I know, which is basically what you guys were saying, is that these are misunderstood, like, you kind of relate to them and you're like, oh, well, they kind of have a point there. And the villains that get through the glass are Maleficent, Cruella, and Captain Hook, and three very memorable characters. And they're like, what's that face for, Clarence? Clarence is going like a, what?
I'm
what?
Let you continue. I'm curious how they're misunderstood.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's up for your interpretation.
I feel like Maleficent, I would get, I'm 100% on board with her being, I get it. Like, I feel like Maleficent, I 100% could get on the train of misunderstood. You're not invited to the birthday party. It's a big deal. It makes you mad. I'm like, I can, it kind of checks out. Like, the king and queen are not super responsible. The king
is basically,
she just
wanted to be invited to the party.
Yeah, the king is getting sloshed with his other king friends setting up their, like, kids getting married. So I'm kind of like, yeah, they're not the most responsible parents. Checks out that Maleficent's kind of mad about that. That's cool. Captain Hook, I'm like, yeah, sure. Maybe he's a little misunderstood, like, kind of just a rogue pirate dude or something. Cruella de Vil, I'm like, yeah, you were insane from day one. Like, movie opens, everybody is
but
like,
she was just insane, for fashion. Is yeah, really what it was. Sure. And she has some fantastic costume changes in the show. But there's two other characters that don't make it fully through the glass, but they do have speaking roles in this, and it's Hades and Jafar. Mm. And they're talking about how I was supposed to be Sultan, and instead a street rat got it. And Hades is like, I'm just in charge of the underworld, and I'm not getting the respect of my brother. So it's those sure. kind of vibes. So, like, I kind of love that those are the five villains that make it through. They reference multiple other villains, but they're not powerful enough to reach the magic mirror, is kind of the whole context of it. So I think it's very interesting. But some of those characters are some of my favorites. I love Captain Hook for his goofiness. People really love Maleficent. I don't know. I have a couple other favorites, but I would agree with you that I feel like a good Disney villain, for, like you were saying, Clarence, it's a great hero. You like, you want somebody to dislike and to be the bad guy in a good versus evil story, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I haven't really loved a lot of the more recent stories, because there's nobody to direct this frustration towards, or you know. Mm-hmm. But then you love to hate these characters too. So, like, yeah, Aurora's cool, but Maleficent has a bigger fan base than Aurora does. You know?
It's true. Because, I mean, to be quite honest, I think Aurora's pretty forgettable as a princess.
I mean, she was asleep for half of her movie. So, yeah. Really, it's really Prince Philip and Maleficent movie. That's really what it is.
It's true, yeah. So, I'm curious, talking about the, like, misunderstood villains.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones do you feel like are actually misunderstood? I have one in mind.
Of the show or just in general?
Just in general.
In general.
Which Disney villains? Because here's the thing. Maleficent is literally the evil fairy. Like, she's the reason anything goes bad in the kingdom. I don't think she's misunderstood. She's just an incarnation of evil.
And we're not taking into account the new Maleficent movies. We're just sticking to this, the traditional OG
classic
animation.
Maleficent before she was retconned. Cruella de Vil just wants to skin puppies. Like,
yeah, that's kind of diabolical. There's no saving that.
Pretty awful person. You know, like, I know in the Cruella movie, she like had some sort of, what is it? The Devil Wears Prada type mentor that was mean to her.
Right.
And like made her who she is. But you know what? Everyone's had a bully and not everyone's going around trying to skin puppies. So let's be real.
I have a good one for Misunderstood that I think is actually 100% legitimate and really doesn't do anything wrong throughout the movie. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. Doesn't do anything wrong, I think. I mean, not ideal.
There's a possibility
in a lot of ways,
we're thinking of the same one.
But I think Chef Skinner from Ratatouille, 100% a good guy throughout the movie.
That's not what I was thinking of. That's better, though.
But he is, like, literally, I mean, the guy finds out that he has a rat problem in the kitchen and says, I am going to take care of the rat. The rat has borderline supernatural powers and defeats him, ties him up physically. Like, he gets tied up by rats. And then he spends the rest of the movie trying to expose that this fancy restaurant the people are trusting actually has rats in the kitchen, which is a big deal if you're in the food service industry at all. And the only, like, bad thing he does is market a dead chef's image to make cheap food that the chef wouldn't even, you know, be excited about making, kind of allegedly or whatever. But it's like, okay, look around. I mean, what notable brand has not fallen to the commercialization trap? And if you're just one former sous chef that becomes the head chef of a failing restaurant in France, you got to make some money somehow. You're not creative enough to do it one way. What, you know, what are you going to do, basically? So I just feel like the guy is like, he's 100% made out to be the bad guy the whole time. And it's like, I'm just like, he's really not that bad. I mean, like, he just does what you're supposed to do in that situation. Like, there's not even really anything super malicious he does throughout the movie, basically.
I will say the one thing he does do that you might be forgetting is he gets the letter saying that Linguini is Gusto's son.
Okay. Again,
purposefully hides that.
You
so that he keeps ownership.
Maybe he's just jealous that Linguini's taller than him and he's having an inferiority complex is really what it boils down to.
That's possible.
So now we're judging them based
but
on
also
looks, Danielle. Come
yes
on.
Also, okay, hypothetically, okay, you know for a fact as a watcher of the movie, Linguini can't cook. It doesn't want to do restaurant stuff, has no passion, understanding for that, no knowledge of that beforehand, okay, has no business knowledge either. Why are you going to give him control of the restaurant? Other than the fact that there is, again, a borderline supernatural rat running around that can cook. I mean, as a human, why would you assume that this random garbage boy comes in, starts working in the kitchen, and he's going to be the next chef when he can't cook at all? Oh, you know, I bet he actually has a rat living in his hair, which grows, first of all, and he's going to save the restaurant. No one would think that. It's not logical at all. So I feel like from like a human to human, misunderstood Chef Skinner. If you'd approached him and said, hey, I have a borderline supernatural rat that can cook phenomenal food, he's going to make $1 million. And Skinner's like, I want to kill the rat. Okay, maybe he's a bad guy now. But he never had all the facts. He never thought rats could cook, which I don't walk around thinking I want rats in the kitchen in my restaurant. So Skinner is my, like, I feel like probably most misunderstood, but also not really a villain. So I understand that, but that just immediately came to mind as totally misunderstood, but kind of actually a good guy.
That is a good one.
So Clarence, which one were you thinking? Because obviously you thought you were on the same wavelength as Ian, and that's not right.
Well, I think it's similar.
Oh,
because my thought was Gaston. Of all people, I think Gaston has his selfish motivations in that he wants Belle to be his wife. A little creepy. Yeah, I don't vibe with that. But I think him going to kill the beast at the end, when Belle's father comes back and is like, hey, my daughter has been kidnapped and held hostage by this monster in the mountains. Like, and Gaston is like the first one to be like, yeah, let's go save her. Like, let's rescue her because he thinks that she's in danger. and is going to go kill the beast. And I really think that in his situation, he was making a very logical decision and borderline selfless decision in that he was willing to risk his life to save Belle, even if it was just to win her affection.
My goodness. I think some people are going to disagree with you in that one, but I mean, your opinion's your opinion.
Prove me wrong.
I mean, I feel like maybe this is just proof of, since Belle seemed to be one of the only educated people in the entire village, was it really just a stem of the lack of education in the French village system, right? Like maybe, French would people maybe never if he had more, who knows? Anyway, interesting take though, Clarence. Okay. I think
I'm interested. I don't know. I'm like, I guess my only critique of that is, okay, yes, hypothetically, let's remove the Disney elements of the story. If it's just a town with no beast, Gaston's still a jerk and a bad guy. Like, you know what I mean? So I feel like
I
that's
say
like
he's a good guy, but I don't think that he deserves to be branded as this evil villain when what he does is try to save someone.
And well, maybe that's why he's just kind of the ridiculous muscular himbo that walks around the parks as a character, right?
I mean, he's kind of your average jock, your
he
average
kinda is
football player type personality. Like, you know, interact with hundreds of those.
That is interesting because really we only have sympathy for the beast because we're seeing Belle and Beast's side of the story. But from mm-hmm. the outside looking in, there we don't understand. We're just like, oh, this guy's after is like keeping her hostage. So yeah, I could see that.
I mean, but and the beast kidnapped Belle's father first, like held him hostage, and then sent him back in this creepy, scary contraption that walks back to the town. Mm. And the father is the one that says, my daughter has been trapped by this monster. So right. Like the only context the villagers have, and this goes for all of the villagers that go and storm the castle at the end, the only context they have is father came back, was held captive by this scary monster in a castle. His daughter is now trapped there and she needs to be saved.
But doesn't Gaston throw Belle's father into prison to remove him
into
from
a
the
crazy
equation
loony
to be
bin?
Able to crazy old Maurice?
Yeah,
maybe
he
I'm
pays.
Misremembering this.
Okay,
and
so
then
you're
I feel like in the musical, he takes Maurice into the woods and leaves him for dead, tied up.
Okay, I'm That's forgetting true. That part.
Yeah, okay, remember maybe. it's the scary guy that comes to the table, and Gaston throws over a thing of money. And is like, we'll take good care of him. Is basically sending him
to the, like, psych ward, basically.
Okay. Of,
and he's basically being left for dead there.
Thinking of those that scene, I did not remember that. Okay, that may change my answer completely, actually.
And really, he was getting Maurice out of the way so that way he could go save her and then just take her hostage. So then is he no better than a beast?
I mean, maybe the beast is also a villain.
The beast is a villain.
Maybe, that's but he is talking furniture, so I'd rather trust him.
If I go over to someone's house and their furniture starts talking to me, I'm leaving. Danielle, I'm not staying.
Danielle, oh no, beast, please don't keep me here in your castle with your nice furniture.
Stop, don't have the furniture be able to do their own laundry for me. Like, stop. Oh my goodness, they're
meals.
Cooking for me? I
stop.
Can't.
I
Let
can't
me go as I lounge further into the couch.
I do think that changes my answer a little bit.
Okay.
Well, maybe
I think for the most part, I still kind of stick with that for Gaston being misunderstood.
Maybe we can shift gears then to what is an actual villain that you're
well,
like.
Danielle hasn't shared a misunderstood villain yet.
Oh. I don't really have a villain that I look at and I'm like, oh, this guy's so misunderstood. I don't think I actually have one. If I think about it, I have my list is more of the levels of scariness or ones I find more realistic. Not saying that any of them are forgivable or ones that I can relate to more so than the other, you know?
That makes sense.
So I would say we should go ahead and jump into who are the best of the worst Disney villains and why we think that. So okay. I can go ahead and jump into that. I think the ones that I think are the scariest for me are going to be Mother Gothel.
Really?
From Rapunzel.
Scary. Interesting.
Scary. Because she 100% gaslighter. It is a narcissistic gaslighter. And I think she's scary because we know people or we have seen people in our real lives that are Mother Gothel. They're just don't have, they're controlling people that they just don't have magical hair. Right. Okay. And so I see that as like Mother Gothel is a very real character. And I think that's what makes her more frightening. Right. Yeah. I would also say Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm.
That was one of mine.
100% very controlling, scary, more holy and prowess, whatever that word is, than I. Like, I am correct. You are wrong. If you don't believe me, then if my it's either my way or the highway. There's no in between.
Well, not even my way or the highway. Talk about gaslighting. Like, I'm going to capture a child from birth and then present a false reality as me as the savior while, like, verbally and physically abusing that person and treating them as subhuman. Oh, and then, by the way, I'm going to look at other people who are in different circumstances than me and condemn them to eternal damnation. Like, I mean,
but pick and choose one that I'm going to sexually harass and say, oh, yes, well, you either need to choose me, a old man, and you're barely, what, 16? And you either marry me or you die by fire. Right? Yeah,
Frollo is bad, dude. Bad. I mean, actual bad.
Awful.
And I think that's why we weren't really allowed to watch Hunchback as a kid, because he was freaky.
Totally. I think 100% Frollo is in the conversation for, like, actual, like, possibly, like, most evil.
Legit evil.
Like, legit evil dudes created by Disney. Frollo's there, for sure, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's the ones that you can... Yeah, for me, some of the scariest ones are the ones that you can look at and you're like, oh, these are based off real people you could find in real life. It's not a scary fairy that doesn't get invited to a party. And I think that's why people like her and they like Maleficent, is because they're like, oh, she's cool because she's bad, but she's not that bad because she's not real and she's not relatable, right?
Uh-huh.
Where people aren't going to pick Frollo. They're going to say, oh, like, Frollo is cool because he's that bad. Mm-hmm. And but they're not going to wear merch of him necessarily, you know?
Yeah. Right. It's sort of tough to do, like, a character interaction in the park when he's just like, you're cursed to hell forever.
Right. He's like, not getting a Bath and Body Works collection that just rolled out. I'm just saying that. Like,
smells like a little smoky, you know, kind of has this, like, ember scent to it.
Ember scent, you know, it's just Notre Dame burning kind of scent. Oh, my goodness. Well, no.
Too soon.
What about you, Clarence? I was going to say,
another one that I feel like is an actual bad person, like, would be scary if they came to life, kind of, is Shan Yu from Mulan. Also another, like, scary, just bad dude criminal riding through the countryside. Mm-hmm. Seems borderline unstoppable for 90% of the film. Willing to kill people. Has a little doll. You know, it's, like, just obviously just murdering entire villages and burning them to the ground. Just, like, a bad dude, and also pretty tough to stop. Like, basically gets buried by an avalanche and then comes out of the avalanche okay. Like, I don't know, just pretty bad dude.
Well, and I think that he's freaky because like you said, the doll scene, and it's symbolizing that there were no survivors, so there was lack of empathy for any human life. And that's frightening. Cool. So yeah, I agree, he's a pretty scary dude too.
Yeah. He's freaky. You know, someone who came to mind that, like, I feel like is a legit evil, but also just kind of creeps me out, even as an adult, I find kind of creepy, is Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Really?
Yes. Christopher Lloyd does an amazing job as Judge Doom. Like, the end, when it's revealed that he's the villain... creepy, like the squeaky voice, the eyes changing color, like, I find him kind of frightening.
Cartoons personally. Gone wrong. or really yes. dark.
And plus, he just likes to, he just kills them, like just literally puts them in paint thinner and kills them.
You didn't? So did you see really my video?
He's kind of a serial killer,
literally in the cartoon world.
Scary, yeah.
Did you see the video that I did at Oogie Boogie Bash? I don't know if I shared this to you, but Judge Doom appears in Oogie Boogie as a character in the treat trail. Really? And he stands there amongst these giant vats of dip. And he has a shoe, like the shoe that he melts in the dip in the beginning of the movie. There is a shoe, and he'll take it and it'll have a sound effect of him putting it into the dip, and it goes as it's like screaming. And I'm like, crazy. This is in the middle of a theme park. There's children around. Yeah, and he's freaky as all get out. He had one of the best like clapbacks I heard. There was somebody recording in front of him, and they were not leaving. They were not moving. And he's like, is that your costume? And the guy's like, yeah. And he's like, well, what are you? And the guy's like, I'm just a videographer, like, because he wasn't really dressed up in anything. He's like, ah, you look like I drew you with my left hand. And I was like, oh, from an artist perspective, that's so good. That is such a good clapback. And I love that. I want to use that more often, especially as a right-handed person. Like, because, you know, trying to draw something with your left hand, that's a good clapback. I loved that. And I'm like, oh, put that in the pocket for later.
I don't get the joke. I'm left-handed. What's the joke? I don't get it.
You're ambidextrous, aren't you? Can't you use your left and right hand?
Sort of.
Sort of. But like, if you try to draw a picture with your dominant hand, right?
Yeah, with my left hand, that would be it.
And then your right hand, you try to draw something. It doesn't look the same, right? Usually it looks really, really ratchet.
Yeah. No, I get it.
It's disappointing. Did you really not get it, or were you just pulling my leg?
I got it. I was left-handed. So I felt called out
just because making
I was
sure.
left-handed. I was like, what?
Danielle, just attacking left-handed people.
I didn't mean to, but if you get the joke.
Send us an email at podcast at thedapperdanielle.com and tell Danielle how offended you are. That
no,
she
don't do that. It wasn't me. It was Judge Doom. Anyway, he was very, very like intimidating also in the Oogie Boogie trails. So he was pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to like favorites. I feel like because we've touched on maybe Misunderstood. We've touched on actual scary villains. But who are some favorites of y'all's? Who are some favorite villains?
For me personally, I think of ones that I would love. Okay, there's different categories of favorite villains. A favorite villain that I just like because I think they're cool, they're suave, they're magical. You love to hate them is Dr. Facilier.
Okay,
I think Dr. Facilier is very cool. He's very frightening with his voodoo and hoodoo and all kind of whatever. Like I think he's very impressive. He's very cool in demeanor. When you meet his character also in the parks, he's very cool. Like, just he tries to be a gentleman, right? Shake my hand. And a businessman, really, is what he is. He just uses magic as part of his business. And I think he's pretty cool. I love to hate him. He's the one that I love to hate. Mm-hmm. And another character that I like is I love Mother Gothel. She is my favorite out of the worst people.
Okay.
I just think she has some of the best villain songs. I don't also that's actually a big thing. Who has some of the best villains have the best music, right? Scar, Be Prepared, great song.
It's a bop.
It's fantastic. Ursula, she's really popular because she has an amazing song. Mother Gothel has an amazing song. You don't like Mother Knows Best?
I think it's mid at best.
I like Mother Knows Best.
I like
Mother it's very Knows Broadway Best, style, and I think that's why I like it. The another character that I love is because I want to cosplay them, and this could be a cosplay you actually see probably in the not so distant future, is Bellwether. From Zootopia, the lamb.
Yeah.
I want to cosplay Bellwether so bad. Just in her little, like, I already have it figured out of how to do the afros and turn them into little sheep ears And I basically, my wardrobe is bellwether, and there's with the glasses, it is what it is. I could totally make that outfit very, very easily.
You could. And with second movie coming out, you could do it for the movie.
Right. She appears in the attraction, the new Zootopia attraction overseas. Mm-hmm. And I think she's cool because she's in prison. She has tattoos now. She dyes her hair. She has a mullet. And she's just kind of cool. But yeah, so I also like bellwether for some reason.
Okay. Ian, who are you, some of your favorites? And who has a great villain song, in your opinion?
Oh,
man. I am going to think about villain song, but I really like Zurg actually a lot. I think Zurg is actually a really fun villain just because he is like, I don't know, he's just goofy. I don't know why I like him, but I think it's just like he is like the stereotypical bad guy villain, like to a T. Like if you just made a bad robot type villain person, just so funny. I love all the Star Wars references too that come with him. Yeah. So always very amused. I am your father.
No. Yeah.
Very amused by Zurg. I think I also like Scar a lot too as a villain. I think Scar has a very interesting storyline. So maybe he would check the box kind of for best villain song plus best villain for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had one more, but now I'm like blanking on it. Oh, this is really random. I don't know if I'm going to say best villain, but a villain that I really enjoy as well, just because of the storyline, it gets me. But is the villain from Cars 2, I forget his first name, but Axelrod is his, like, he's like the alleged like electric car,
but he's really a lemon.
That's not really an electric car, and it's this whole thing where he's like trying to help the good guys out and wants to like sponsor. I think he's like one of the sponsors of the race or whatever, but then he's revealed to be like the bad guy or whatever. So just very good storyline, comes out of nowhere kind of as the bad guy. I really enjoyed that one too. So I do feel like there's maybe an element of like stereotypical villain that I really enjoy.
He's a corporate villain, but in the Cars world.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just, something about those kind of stand out to me as, I do like Sean Yu a lot from Mulan as well too. Like he's, even though he's an actual scary one to me, he's also just like great villain. Again, just like, just so bad. You know, you're just like, wow, you are so bad.
Right.
those come to mind for me.
I am gonna pick some deep cuts.
Oh, please continue.
I'm gonna be amused by who I'm gonna pick.
Really?
First, as far as like good villain song, I think Radigan from The Great Mouse Detective has a phenomenal villain song, and I think he's a very fun villain. I like him a lot. That movie's just very good, and I feel like doesn't get enough attention. Classic villain favorites. Jafar is phenomenal. He's a great villain. I like him a lot. I think he's funny. And then Prince John, of course, from Robin Hood. Those are not my deep cuts, but I love Prince John's character. I think it's very funny that he's like this crybaby villain.
Right.
That's the whole thing. But this is my deep cut. This is my deep cut. I'm going to say Dr. Hamsterveal.
Hamsterveal!
Hamsterveal!
I love Hamsterveal!
From the Lilo and Stitch series. And from, Stitch, the movie.
Yes.
Yes. I find him phenomenal. I love Hamsterveal.
Not just because he's just a hamster.
I just think he's such a goofy character. And, like, his team up with,
Captain Gantu?
Yeah, Captain Gantu. Yes, and his voice actor, like, the voice acting for him is hysterical. To be fair, he's not a phenomenal villain. He's not, like, a great, memorable villain.
He's a cute cartoon series villain, like, that, kind of like a Scooby-Doo villain of... At the end, he's like, curse you!
I think
Lilo and Stitch!
I think it's also really funny that he just has a big yellow H on his chest. Like,
he wears a bib. Really, what it is.
It's just really funny to me that, like, he feels the need to have his initial on his chest, and that the animators drew him like that. I find that very amusing. And also that he was, like, made Jumba's former partner, like... in science or something.
That's true.
So it's just Dr. Hamsterview, phenomenal deep cut villain that I love. It's just thinking about villains. This also made me think about, do you remember the show Disney's House of Mouse?
Yes.
There was a Halloween special that was Disney's or Mickey's House of Villains.
Yes.
And the villains took over the House of Mouse. I just, I don't really know much. I don't remember much about the episode, but I have this desire to watch it now after talking about villains and seeing all of them in one place, just at a late night show.
It's not on Disney Plus.
Is it not?
None of the House of Mouse is on Disney Plus.
That seems like a terrible oversight.
Well, I think it's a copyright thing. I think it was only made. It's kind of like one of those things of the series was only made for television. And like there's something in the copyright of certain things could not be used in it. I don't know what it is. Or there's one. Or is there only one thing on Disney Plus? Hold on, I'm double checking real quick. I'm doing my research in live time. House of Mouse. Disney Villains. It was a 2001 film. Where to watch it? You have to rent it from... It's nowhere on Disney Plus, but you can rent it from Apple TV or Amazon Prime Video for
$10.
$10? $10.
It's not worth $10. I'm sorry to the animators that worked on it. It's not worth $10.
Yeah. Or maybe that's to own it. Is that to own it or to actually like, I feel like rent that's to it buy temporarily? It.
That's to
that
buy
could be
it.
To buy it.
It's gotta be.
Right. But it costs more also to be able to watch it over on YouTube TV. It costs $17.99.
That's insane. No. Okay. Sorry. I guess I'm not watching that this fall.
Actually it might be if somebody might actually have it available elsewhere on not specific places.
Okay. But I'll do a little Google search.
Do a little Google search. Yes. You know. Wait, is it popping up here on Netflix?
And if not, I'll just watch Over the Garden Wall again, and that'll be my Halloween
classic
show.
Wait, why is it showing up on Netflix?
Netflix?
I don't know. That's what I'm confused by. It's just like, oh, okay, watch it down here. I would have to log in to check it out. That is a good... I have to do my history, my look up on that. Yeah, there's a couple of things. Oh, goodness. Sorry,
maybe,
I got...
Maybe, here's a thought, as we're closing out this episode. Maybe I do, because this is going to be technically the first episode of October.
Yes.
Because we have an episode coming out on September 30th, the last day of September. And then this one will be the following Tuesday, which is the first Tuesday of October. So this is kind of our launch into Halloween season, into the spooky season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we continue this kind of villainous talk for future episodes for October. Ooh. Do kind of a Halloween series of the next, because we have 3 weeks. And we touch on, maybe next time, we touch on favorite Halloween specials and we talk about those.
Oh,
that could be a fun topic.
That could be, yes. Or if you guys have any specific topics that you want us to talk about within the villain or Halloween theme, or maybe there's a piece of history that you have questions on that you're like, okay, if anybody's gonna know, it's gonna be Dapper Danielle, Clarence, and Ian, and they're gonna do their research on this and be able to give us an answer. Let us know. Reach out to us either on the socials, on the Instagram, on the TikTok, or again, send us an email over at podcast@thedapperdanielle.com. And we would love to be able to answer those for you here in the next like 2 or 3 episodes leading up to Halloween. Let's get those little sinister juices flowing and think about these things, you know?
And maybe we'll have some other episodes like that. Maybe even that one that become bonus episodes for the Patreon this month. So if you want to sign up for Patreon, get shouted out on the podcast, please do so. Mm-hmm. Links are in the description for the episodes and YouTube description. Also, if you're watching and listening. I assume we're closing out the show.
Yes, we are.
It's probably time to do that.
I've kind of gone down a downhill spiral of thinking about all these different villains and making my list of movies that I need to start thinking about for the Halloween season or the spooky season. And now I'm like, oh, no, now I'm distracted. So, yes.
So I think if you're watching, listening anywhere else, please like, comment, subscribe, share it with your friends. Tell your grandmother about us and she'll ask how to listen because she doesn't know what you're talking about and doesn't understand how podcasts work.
You'd be surprised. The cool grannies listen to the Dapper Danielle. I'm just saying. They know about me already.
It's true. But that's anyway. All I've got.
All right, Ian, do you have any additional closing remarks, anything villain related, or any other additional notes you would like to say before I wrap this up?
I want to hear your grandmother's favorite Disney villain. When you get your grandmother to listen to our podcast, I want to know her favorite Disney villain.
Oh, also, yeah, so let us know that also in the email or in the messages. That'd be funny. All right, y'all. Well, thank you again so much for listening this far into another episode. And wherever you're watching or listening from, thank you again. We really, really appreciate it. We've been loving the responses of the show. And I can't wait to bring you some more fun history, some more fun main attractions, some new hot topics, and keep those cast member messages flowing. Just remember to put a note in there saying that you want to be discreet or all that other jazz. So thank you again so much. And until next time. Night night, sleep tight, dream of churros tonight.